right, Friday, 5 p.m.
Here we are again.
Double happy hour.
Maybe triple happy hour.
It's hard to say, but it is time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. That's my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, next to me as well. Once again, I just want to say that we both, of course, hope that you are faring well, staying indoors, following the instructions of our leaders, and staying healthy more than anything else. It's the most important thing. We are doing the exact same thing. We are home now as we are doing all of our broadcasting for American Hit Radio from our home. Luckily, through the magic of science and
internet and
all that stuff, we are able to get this show done and then placed on the air. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm also grateful to the station, WHPC, for giving us the opportunity to do this in this tough time. So let's escape for an hour. As you know, on Fridays, we've been covering in our How Music Changed series what we are calling Transistor Days, covering songs, hit singles from 1955 until the end of the 60s. And last week, with part 13, we just completed the 50s. So here we are with part 14. We start off a whole new decade. And from a cultural perspective, the 1960s were certainly one of the most challenging and diverse decades in recorded history. But yet, you could never have seen it coming, as this show will prove. In fact, as the decade began, you might have justifiably argued that rock and roll was indeed dead and that music was returning to the sound of the mid-50s, with major record labels once again seizing control of the pop charts. Today's show, there's hardly a single song that could be classified as classic rock and roll unless you are willing to expand the definition of the term to include hybrids. Nevertheless, it was an incredibly rich era for pop music, expanding to include all sorts of styles, most of which would eventually be absorbed into the broader definition of what we now call rock and roll. Yep. So let's kick this off then with a cowboy ballad, a song performed and written, by the way, by Marty Robbins. If you didn't know that, Marty Robbins actually wrote the song El Paso. Jeez. Number one on both the country and the pop charts. It's got that awesome Spanish guitar sound in it by Grady Martin. And it's all about a love song about falling in love with a girl in a cantina named Felina. And it turns out that Marty Robbins actually grabbed that name from a schoolmate friend of his from fifth grade named Fidelina Martinez. He used her name more or less as his inspiration. It's a long song by the standards of like late 50s, early 60s. It's over 4 minutes. And at first, Columbia didn't think that they would be able to get it played on the radio because it was too long. So when they put it out on single, they released two versions of it. The full 4.5 minute version on one side and an edited 3 minute version on the other.
I thought you were going to tell me they flubbed the time on the label.
Oh, that comes later.
Oh.
But not yet. At this point, they just basically released it, you know, two versions of it on the same 45, thinking that would help to get it airplay. As it turns out, both DJs and the record buying public had no use at all for the edited version. Everybody wanted to hear the full-length version of the song.
Once you hear the full-length, you need the whole story.
You can't go back, exactly. So Marty Robbins has a fabulous job of conveying this story, starting it in the past and then suddenly cutting to the present on the last verse. And it's very powerful. Here then, on American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, is Marty Robbins performing El Paso.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina, music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love. So in anger I challenged his right for the love of this maiden. Down went his hand for the gun that he wore. My challenge was answered in less than a heartbeat. The handsome young stranger lay dead on the floor. Out through the back door of roses I ran, out where the horses were tied. I caught a good one, it looked like it could run. Up on its back and away I did ride, just as fast as I could, from the West Texas town of El Paso back to the badlands of New Mexico. Back in El Paso my life would be worthless. Everything's gone in life, nothing is left. It's been so long since I've seen the young maiden. My love is stronger than my fear of death. I saddled up and away I did go, riding alone in the dark. Maybe tomorrow a bullet may find me, tonight nothing's worse than this pain in my heart. And at last here I am on the hill overlooking El Paso. I can see Rose's cantina below. My love is strong and it pushes me onward. Down off the hill to Felina I go. Off to my right I see five mounted cowboys. Off to my left, right, a dozen or more. Shouting and shooting, I can't let them catch me. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my side. Though I am trying to stay in the saddle, I'm getting weary, unable to ride. But my love for Felina is strong, and I rise where I've fallen. Though I am weary, I can't stop to rest. I see the white puff of smoke from the rifle. I feel the bullet go deep in my chest. From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side. Cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss and Felina goodbye.
Fabulous song there, of course, by...
one of my childhood favorites, for sure.
Yeah, you turned me on to that. I know you loved the album, Gunfighter Ballads.
Yeah, my dad had it, so... Yeah,
and I fell in love with that album now myself. It's pretty amazing. You know, what's funny about the lyrics is, you know, he kills the guy out of jealousy, and which probably certainly would have led to some sort of, like, you know, going to jail for that. But
well,
the thing
reprisal
that,
at the very least.
Well, right. Well, the thing that seals his fate is when he steals the horse. That was a hanging offense. That's why they have him, like, basically, he wrote the words and he had himself stealing the horse, because that justifies them hunting him down and killing him.
Ah.
They would not have necessarily done that had he just shot the man. It's weird. Stealing a horse was a worse offense back in the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. The Badlands.
Right. Now, Marty Robbins, inadvertently, no way could he have known that he was about to kick off something known as the Death Song. But an entire series of death songs followed this. That was number one at the start of 1960. The song that was number one right behind it was a song by Johnny Preston called Running Bear, another song in which the protagonist dies. And then comes a song which we could say is the teenage death songs, of which there are plenty. It's kind of nuts. I include this as, like, one of our great misses, because the song is just so horribly sad and dark.
But campy.
It can't be as well, but I mean, it literally got banned by radio because it was just, the song is too sad to bear. And there was a number of them. Like I said, I mean, after this, there was a song, Last Kiss came out, Tell Laura I Love Her. Oh. All of these like real weepy songs.
Heavy duty.
But here on our list of great misses is Mark Dinning performing Teen Angel on WHPC 90.3.
Teen Angel, Teen Angel, ooh. That fateful night, the car was stalled up on the railroad track. I pulled you out and we were safe, but you went running back. Teen Angel, can you hear me? Teen Angel, can you see me? Are you somewhere up above? And am I still your own true love? What was it you were looking for that took your life that night? They said they found my high school ring clutched in your fingers tight. Teen Angel, can you hear me? Teen Angel, can you see me? Are you somewhere up above? And am I still just sweet 16, and now you're gone. They've taken you away. I'll never kiss your lips again. They buried you today. Teen Angel, can you hear me? Teen Angel, can you see me? Are you somewhere up above? And am I still your own true love? Teen Angel, Teen Angel, answer.
Poor sweet 16.
Well, that song really does beat me up. It's just too depressing.
You relate to it a little too closely.
Well, I just so ridiculous. I mean, teen death songs. And that song took a long time because the radio wasn't playing it. But people loved it. People just that.
They ate it up.
Yeah. Just, oh my God. The deep sadness of that one. All right. Teen Angel, Mark Dinning. It's interesting to note, by the way, that song was written by his sister, Jean Dinning, and her husband. It was like a homegrown thing, that whole bit. All right, let's move on to Happier Place. The movie, A Summer Place, starring Sandra Dee and Troy Donahue, had come out around this time. And it did have a title theme song, but this song called Theme from a Summer Place, it was not the title theme. There was, you know, Sandra Dee and Troy Donahue played lovers, and there was a secondary theme in the movie, and this was like the song that accompanied them. It was like the love theme from A Summer Place. And the version that became a hit is also not the version from the movie. Percy Faith recorded an orchestral version of the song, and it also went to number one.
Wow.
And this was the last great instrumental hit of the rock and roll era. It was number one for 9 weeks, which was actually an all-time record at the time. The longest number one hit record of that to make the top 100 at that time. So, on American Radio, WHPC 90.3, here is, I can't believe I'm playing Percy Faith and his orchestra on a song that I truly love called Theme from a Summer Place.
Thank you.
nothing really rock and roll about that song, huh?
Not really.
see what I'm talking about? I mean, it's really amazing. And once the 60s hit, things changed drastically. I did love that song, though. I loved that song so much. It was one of those things that you'd hear on AM radio as a kid that you really wouldn't even take notice of.
I guess it was something for mom to listen to while she was driving the kids around.
That's kind of how it felt. But the thing is, like, repetitive listening, it started to sink in and it became like sort of a beautifully evocative theme. It stuck in my head. When I covered that in my book, rather than write about Percy Faith and his orchestra, I just made up a short story about going to the beach with my family for the summer. It was just a different approach. It was a totally made up story. I pretended that we were going to Ocean City, New Jersey, and we never vacationed on Ocean City, New Jersey, but I just wanted to convey what the song made me feel.
It wouldn't have had the same punch if you were just going up to Oyster Bay.
Or something like that. Right, exactly, exactly. So let's continue this. I mean, and the strangeness of this era continues, right? For this next track, here's Dion and the Belmonts, right? Who definitely rock and roll, doo-wop, the Bronx. And here they are in 1960 performing a song that was first appeared, it goes all the way back to 1937 and the musical Babe in Arms. It's kind of nutty. After that, it was in an MGM movie that starred Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, where they changed the script drastically. And yet they retained this song in the movie version. But something about it is beautiful. And I have to admit that Dion and the Belmonts do a fabulous job of conveying the sense of deja vu that is evoked in the song's lyrics called Where or When on American Radio, 90.3 WHBC. Another great song that, in a way, betrays the rock and roll spirit, and yet
it's not rock and roll.
No, and this is the 60s. This is why, you know, you can make the argument that the 60s didn't really start in the 60s. The 60s started in 1964, really, when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, and maybe so.
The 60s, as we think of it, probably ran from 1964 to 1972. So we're sort of in this like strange nether region of the 60s before the 60s really
were the
60s.
Where the record companies are still fighting to keep
control.
Control.
The whole Control, yes. Yeah. I mean, like that song, like I said, goes all the way back to pre-1940. This next song, now, well, this is all chronological now. This is all January, February, 1960. And right after Dion and the Belmonts release Where or When, Bobby Darin releases his follow-up to Mack the Knife. And he goes back to 1945, picking a song that was actually a French song called La Mer by Charles Trenet. What happened is somebody else basically took the song, a guy named Jack Lawrence, added the word beyond to the title, which gave him a chance to rewrite the words as a love song. And Bobby Darin ended up with a fabulous follow-up to the biggest hit of his career, and a song that to this day is remembered just as well as Mack the Knife. Also done fabulously well by Frank Sinatra, if I may say. Here now, though, is the hit version by Bobby Darin on American Radio 90.3 WHPC.
Stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms. Star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt my heart will lead me there soon. Meet beyond the shore, we'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go
That track is swinging.
Oh, yeah.
Some great drums on that thing, too. I mean, it's it's so syncopated. Those drum fills are really special.
Pretty the awesome. Horns.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now this, I don't know if this is just a coincidence. Well, of course it's a coincidence. But I mentioned that song has roots in, you know, from a French song called La Mer. So does this next song, oddly enough. The Everly Brothers left Nashville. This is the very first hit that they ever recorded somewhere other than Nashville. They were in New York, and they went into the studio to record a song that was originally made famous by Gilbert Bécaud.
It's all about the French.
I can't. Yeah, right. Isn't that odd? The two songs back to back with that. It's called "Let It Be Me," and again, it's an Everly Brothers song. So technically, it's rock and roll, but you wouldn't know it by the feel of this beautiful song. On 90.3 WHPC, here are the Everly Brothers with Let It Be Me. ¶¶
heaven from one. If you must cling to someone now and forever, let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find complete love. Without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Tell me you love me only, and that you'll always let.
Another beautiful song, but you can feel the ship turning around, right? I mean, that momentum that rock and roll had is definitely, you know, lost at this point in time. And to continue with our series of coincidences with two songs have French origins, here's another coincidence. That song, Let It Be Me, was followed up with a really gorgeous duet version by Betty Everett and Jerry Butler around 1964. And their version was just as much of a hit as the Everly Brothers version was. Huh. And it's rather beautiful. And just coincidentally, the next song that I'm covering here from February of 1950 happens to be a duet, but a totally different duet. This time, it's Brooke Benton and Dinah Washington getting together to perform a song called Baby, You've Got What It Takes on American Radio 90.3.
WHPC.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go. And it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
But it takes two hearts of cooking to make a fire grow. And baby, you've got what it takes.
Oh, yeah.
You know it takes a lot of kissing.
Tell me about it.
To make a romance sweet. Ooh, it takes a lot of loving.
Just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort to stay away from you. It takes more than a lifetime to prove that I'll be true.
What it takes, somebody special to make you me say I do.
Oh, yeah.
And baby, hey, you got what it takes.
Because
it takes,
yeah,
oh yeah, get my spot again.
One more time, bro. That was hot. The closest we get, think about it, the closest we're getting to rock and roll there in this show so far is Dinah Washington.
Oh, she was cooking.
With Brooke Benton. Pretty amazing. You know, it's funny, that song actually originated, it was first recorded by Brooke Benton's sister, Dorothy, in 1958. It was on a B-side of one of her singles, so he just grabbed it and recorded his version with Dinah Washington and ended up with one of the biggest R&B hits really up until that point in time.
Pretty cool.
All right, next, yeah, another R&B track coming up. Probably one of the simplest 45s ever recorded. That's saying something. Mm. Especially in the era of rock and roll, when everybody said, you know, basically a hit record is nothing more than a couple of chords and an attitude. It's pretty much what this is. The artist is Jimmy Reed. If you remember, Heidi, on our How Music Changed series, he was show number 2 that we did. And we did shows about the Bad Boys. We did really in one show, we covered Ike Turner and Jimmy Reed, two men who were bad in very different ways. But Jimmy Reed also quite an artist. And here, the song is really, he gets full credit for writing it. But the fact is, it's probably written, almost all of his songs were written by his wife, Mary, Mama Reed. So that's what probably the story here as well. It's called Baby, What You Want Me to Do on American Radio, 90.3 WHPC.
You got me running, you got me hiding, you got me run, hide, hide, run anywhere you wanna let it roll. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got me done what you want me, the baby.
Man, just how laid back can you get? Right? I mean, that's like almost sleepy. I bet you J.J. Cal was paying attention when that came out.
I bet you're right.
Yeah, about 10 years later, he'd be having hits with in a similar feel as that. Dang. You notice they never even say the title? Baby, you know,
it's
what you want me to do?
Alluded to.
Yeah, what they say at the end of every round is, baby, why you want to let go. So it's a bit of a misnomer, the title. All right, let's get into a couple of great misses, but a couple back-to-back here. The first, I mean, Paul Anka, who I've got a lot of respect for as a songwriter. Obviously, he's quite famous. But he's also really good at turning out a couple of schlocky numbers. And I would this, I would say, is one of the schlockiest that he's ever written. Around this time, remember, you know, we covered Annette Funicello earlier. She was one of the part of the female version of the teen idol thing that was happening. And she was on tour with Paul Anka, and they had a thing between them when they were on tour. So Paul wrote this song for Annette Funicello on that tour.
Huh.
Here on American Hit Radio, here's Paul Anka singing Puppy Love.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart, how it really feels, and why I love her so. And they called it puppy love, just because we're 17. Tell them all, oh please tell them it isn't fair to take away my only dream. I cry each night these tears for you. Is the answer, is it up above? How can I, oh, how can I ever tell them? Oh, this is not a puppy love. Someone help me, please. Is the answer above? How can I, oh, how can I tell them this is not a puppy love?
Is it rude to use the word insipid?
It's not insulting.
It's so much that what bugs me most about it is the way that he over-emotes. It sounds like somebody's about to shoot him or something, and he's breaking down into tears. Let's play one more bad one. It's another one of what I call the sweater boys. I think that's what they were referred to at the, you know, the teen idols at the time. We played Fabian, I think it was just last week. So now we can bring Bobby Rydell into the equation. Another one of
those.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit more believable, I suppose, because he actually was able to sing and he had some hits, but nothing that rocks my world, that's for sure. I think this is one of the dumber songs, actually, that he recorded. It's called Swingin' School on 90.3 WHBC.
Check out! Kicks out!
Ah!
We'll have a house, a car, a swimming pool. Whoa, 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 I go a swing at school.
La, 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 la.
I said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
All right, obviously a juvenile song, but you're not going to believe when I tell you this, though. You know what song that inspired?
What?
Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote She Loves You after hearing that song.
Wow.
They heard the question and answer thing that was going on.
Uh-huh.
Da, 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 and they said, you know, maybe we should do that with the four of us. We could sing a line like She Loves You and the others will answer with yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just find it, I mean, obviously, and that was 4 years later when that, well, three, when they wrote She Loves You. So pretty incredible.
Yeah.
For a dumb song, it spawned something pretty amazing. All right, this next track has got pretty much it guaranteed to be successful. How could it not be great? It's written by Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann.
Oh.
It's produced by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. And it's performed by Benny King and the Drifters.
Win.
Right? This magic moment on 90.3 WHPC.
Moment, so different and so new, just like any other, until I kiss you, and then it happened. It took me by surprise. I knew that you felt it too, by the look in your eyes, sweeter than wine, softer than the summer night. Everything I want, I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, while your lips are close to mine, will last forever. Forever till the end. Sweeter than wine, softer than the summer night. Everything I want, I have. Whenever I hold you tight, this magic moment, while your lips are close to mine, will last forever. Forever till the end.
Perhaps the most aptly named group in the history of rock and roll, the Drifters. I say that because so many people drifted in and out of the band.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could literally, you don't have enough fingers and toes to count the members. And that's really just in the first 5 or 6 years of the band's existence. Forget what happened after like the early 60s. It multiplied.
They were aptly named.
Tenfold, really, absolutely. Okay, now this next track, this has got some crazy story. It's a little bit complicated. I'll see if I can try to do this sort of clearly. In 1960, Anna Gordy and Gwen Gordy, relatives of Berry Gordy, started a record label with Billy Davis called Anna Records, after Anna. And this inspired Berry Gordy to want to do the same. So he started a label of his own called Tamla, soon to be Motown. And he's desperately trying to get his first hit. And He's been really trying for quite a while. As you know, in our Motown series, when we played every single A-side, we go pretty deep into our show before we end up hitting a genuine hit recording. Well, that's what this is. This is when they finally hit pay dirt. Berry Gordy wrote the song with Janie Bradford. Well, that's what is stated. But the fact of the matter is that Berry Gordy and the singer of the song, Barrett Strong, were fooling around in the studio. They were improvising. Gordy's at the piano, and Strong is trying to sing along with him. Berry Gordy probably coming up with the words that he wants him to sing and giving them to Barrett Strong. Now, you know where Motown is in Detroit, right?
We went there.
It's literally a house in a neighborhood.
Yes.
At this point in time. Well, as the story goes, and this is what's totally unbelievable to me, two white kids were walking home from high school past the house where Motown was located.
Right.
And they could hear the music out on the street. So they wandered up to the door and they basically asked if they could play. So they played guitar and bass and they started jamming along. And according to Barrett Strong, he says he never saw the two boys who played bass and guitar ever again.
Crazy.
They put down their instruments, they left, but the result is this song. I am not kidding.
Wow.
On American Hit Radio, 90.3
now
WHPC. Barrett Strong singing a song that became legendary, Money, That's What I Want. Motown's first hit, although it wasn't released on the Motown label. Like I said, it was released on Tamla and distributed by his sister's label, Anna, because they had a little bit more power. And they're the ones who were able to help it rise to hit status. We've got time for one more. Let's squeeze one more in right now to wrap up things right here. What's Jackie Wilson? We played him earlier, and this song was actually a B-side. The A-side was a song called Night, which was actually based upon an aria, an opera aria from Samson and Delilah. It's a bit ridiculous, frankly, the A side. The B side is typical Jackie Wilson. He's awesome. The only thing about it is the female chorus. Once again, I mean, the whoever is responsible for doing this to Jackie Wilson should be arrested and charged for treason. Because the song is so great. But what are you going to do? It's the arrangement. It's what they did in the 60s. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll continue with our march through the 60s next week, of course, where we start with songs from the spring of 1960. We'll see you then. Meanwhile, on American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, here is Jackie Wilson with dogging around. Take care, everybody.
You better stop, yeah. Take it much longer. My heart's getting weak. It's not getting any stronger. You keep me so upset. My head's in a whirl. But if you wanna be my girl, you'd better stop. Cause if you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Now you know you go out nights to have yourself a ball. Sometimes you don't. You don't make it home at all. I don't mind you having yourself a real good time. But now, what you trying to do? Trying to make me lose my mind. Better stop. Yeah, dog. If you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Yes, put you down. I don't wanna do it, but I'll have to put you down. I love you, baby, but I'll still have to.